ball. Pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming back. We have a busy one, as we always do on Mondays, as we have a lot to talk about that happened over the weekend. We'll briefly glide through the games over the weekend as the Mariners drop 2 of 3 to the Cleveland Indians, and Cleveland on their way now, and the New York Yankees storm into town. It is Felix Day today. Well, we'll take a look at the matchup as Felix takes on Michael Pineda in what should be another glorious pitching matchup, and we've seen a lot of them the last few days. The Mariners, their competition has been awfully stiff when it comes to pitchers the last handful of days. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. We'll also hear from Felix Hernandez. Shannon Dreher sat down with Felix the night after his start in Tampa Bay against Archer. And by the way, Felix is going to face Tampa Bay again, it looks like, on Saturday at Safeco Field. So Monday, Saturday at Safeco Field as this homestand continues. And speaking of that, Rebecca Hale from the Mariners will join us, and she'll talk about all the things going on around the homestand. And of course, it's Monday. That means bullpen banter. Charlie Furbush is back, and he visits with Mark Lowe, and it's epic. And singing is involved, so you'll enjoy that. Also, week that was, as we recap last week in Mariners baseball. So all of that coming up in what is a big, big Monday podcast. First things first, though, let's talk about what happened over the weekend. Mariners, of course, played Cleveland on Thursday, lost to Corey Kluber and the Indians 5-3. They were looking to bounce back on Friday, and this was a great ball game. Taijuan Walker was absolutely sensational against Cleveland on Friday night.
Walker's pitch cut on and missed. 90-70, blew it right past Perez. And Taijuan Walker, for the third straight inning, has retired the side in order. Nice work by Taijuan Walker. A couple of strikeouts. He's got three on the night.
No score. Top of the fifth. Two outs the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three to fastball. And that will retire the side. Walker has retired 14 of the last 15. And there is strikeout number 7. And Taijuan, he is a humming tonight here against the Cleveland Indians. Holy smokes, what a performance by Taijuan Walker.
He was so good. The best start of his career. 8 innings just blanking Cleveland. Outstanding. Outstanding. And the Mariners got all their offense with one swing of the bat.
The kick and the 2-1. Swing, and this is hammered, and it is gone. This is gone by a ton. Oh, mama, Seth Smith. He puts the Mariners on top 2-0, and he got every ounce of that pitch by Trevor Bauer. Did he ever swap that over the fence in right field? 2-0 Mariners.
They found a way to beat Trevor Bauer, which was a good thing. So facing 3 days in a row, Archer, Kluber, Bauer, and they win 2 out of 3 ball games. The Mariners feeling pretty good about things at that point, especially, you know, one of the things you look at this recent stretch, just take a look at the top 10 leaders in strikeouts in the American League. You see Kluber there with 96. Mariners face him on Thursday. And then you have Archer at 82. Mariners faced him the game before that. Felix at 71. Mariners can't face him because he's, you know, on the team. Then you have Salazar at 71, tied with Felix, and the Mariners faced him yesterday. You have Pineda at 67. He's sixth, and the Mariners will face him today. And then you have Bauer, who's 10th with 65, and the Mariners faced him a couple games ago. It has been a rough stretch, not to mention Odorizzi in the mix, too. He's 14th. The Mariners faced him right before Archer. It's just, it's been a really tough stretch facing some really good pitching. But Saturday, actually facing a pitcher not on that list, and Sean Markham, Roenis Elias getting the start. He stumbled early. Cleveland scored 3 runs within the first 2 innings. But the Mariners, they get one swing of the bat from Robinson Cano to pull within one.
Here's the 2-2. Swung on and crushed on the right field line. That is deep, and that is gone. A two-run home run for Robinson Cano, his second of the year. And just like that, one swing of the bat, and the Mariners only down one. It's Cleveland 3. It's the Mariners 2, and that thing got out of here in a hurry.
But despite chances in that one, the Mariners not able to get any closer. They left opportunities by the wayside, and they fall 4-3. They did tack on one more in the seventh inning, but couldn't get any closer. So they went into yesterday looking for the split against Cleveland, and this ended up being a pretty wild ball game. The Mariners score 3 runs in one frame after, you know, we talk about the big arms. Danny Salazar was dealing early, but the Mariners, they get to him in the fifth inning. They score 3 runs, but it could have been more, and this was a key play in the ballgame.
And the 3-2 pitch, swing and a line drive into the gap in right center field. Rayburn on the run, leaps up, dives, and he makes the catch. Holy smokes, what a flying catch by Ryan Rayburn in right center field. How in the world did he catch up with that one?
That's a great question. How did he catch that one? It was an incredible catch, fully extended, laid out, made the dive. Remarkable. Pulled a run off the board and what could have been a bigger inning. The Mariners did score 3 times. And then Rayburn, he turns around. He had the first at bat in the top half of the next inning, and he hits a home run. I mean, what a sequence. An incredible catch, a home run, and then Cleveland able to tie it in the eighth inning. It would go to 12. Cleveland would score 3 in the top of the 12th. Mariners had exhausted their bullpen at that point. And Cleveland, with 18 hits in 12 innings, they score 6 times and beat the M 6-3. So they take 3 of the 4 games against the Mariners over the weekend, starting on Thursday. The Mariners now 2 games below 500 after getting back to the 500 mark. They've lost 2 in a row since then, and they'll look to get back on track tonight as they take on the New York Yankees. It is Felix Day, Felix Hernandez, 7:10 first pitch from Safeco Field. High court will be in session. Michael Pineda going to go for the Yankees, his first time facing the Mariners, his first time back at Safeco Field. This should be an excellent ballgame. And to celebrate Felix Day and Felix Hernandez, you know how good he was in his last start against Tampa Bay. Shannon Dreyer, a chance to talk with Felix after that start and talk about everything that went into it. Here is Shannon Dreyer with the King.
Felix, we've got to talk about yesterday. Such a fantastic outing by you. And also, just anybody who likes pitching had to absolutely appreciate that game yesterday. What was it like to be a part of that?
It was a really, really good game. I mean, both sides of the from Tampa and from us. I mean, Archie was doing a really good game. He was striking out a lot of guys. I mean, he don't make any mistakes. So I'm just trying to go out there and match up every inning, just trying to put zeros on the board. And then just when we came through, like Nelly did, and win the game.
You showed so much emotion at the end of the game. It's so fun for you, I think, to just be out there. You don't usually get to be out there after a start, but when you get to walk out on the mound in the ninth inning and pick up the ball, what's that like for you?
Oh, it's pretty good. I mean, I love to always be there. I just want to be the long I can be in during the game. So it was a great game. I mean, I'm so happy that we won and now that I threw 9th inning.
What was really interesting to watch is you watched Archer and he had strikeout stuff and you had a little bit of a different strategy. I talked with Zunino and he said, you guys kind of looked at what you had and it's like, let's pitch to contact today. They're probably going to swing early.
Yeah, they always swing early against me. I mean, I'm just trying to go out there, just leave in the middle, the bottom part of the sum. And every time somebody get hit, we make a good pitch and then we get a double play. So, I mean, the defense was unbelievable too. So, got to credit that.
So, you're in the bullpen before the game, and from what I understand, you kind of saw that you had the good curveball in there.
Well, not during the bullpen. I don't think I can. Me, and I don't know anybody else as a pitcher, like me, I can't tell you from the bullpen that it's going to be a good game.
Okay.
So that's me. I don't know. I'm like, because it's different stuff. I mean, I'm just warming up and throw a few curveballs. Is that okay? Sometimes they don't even want to strike. So and I'm like, I'm going to use it. Anyway, I'm going to use it on the game. So.
But you get going. And from what I understand, this is the most curveball you've thrown in a game. The most breaking balls you've thrown in a game was a number that they came out with.
That's what I heard, too. That's what I heard. I mean, if it worked, I got to keep trying it then.
So how good was the curveball yesterday?
That was pretty good. That was good. It was in the strike zone all the time.
And you like that. I mean, everybody talks about the changeup. We know a lot about the changeup, but your curveball is a big pitch for you, too. How important is that for you? And when you have that, what does that give you?
More strikes and more swing and a miss. I mean, that's the one another pitch that I can go with two strikes, or I can go not use more of my changeup because they know it's coming. So I can go there and just throw my curveball, use my fastball, use my slider that I don't use a lot. So it's one of those days.
Yeah, one of those days where you didn't have to throw a lot of pitches, which was important because a little bit short in the pen, right?
Yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah, it was, we don't use a lot of pitches. I mean, they were swinging early, so I can get quick out. So that was good for us.
How much do you adjust? I mean, if they are swinging early like that, is it a matter of keeping with what you've got, or do you wait to see them make an adjustment?
No, actually, they would just skip. I'll just skip them myself. We'd be out there. Don't use many fastball the first pitch. Trying to go different ways, and that's what we did.
Okay, in the ninth inning, you see the two walks. You see Cruz step up to the plate. What did you see from where you were sitting when he hit that ball?
I was just, yes, it did. But I was so calm. I'm not put any emotions in it. I don't even clap. I don't do anything.
Really?
I was like, yeah, he did it. Game over.
It was that kind of game, though, wasn't it? I mean, sometimes there will be emotions, but it was just so close the entire time.
Yeah, it was so close. I mean, it was 0-0 to the ninth, so I was like, I was so calm because I was going to go out there throw the complete game. So I need to be calm, not be excited. I'm just keep your emotions, go out there and finish the game.
And that you did, and it was a nice flight home. Felix, that was a great performance yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
It's always great to hear from Felix Hernandez, and it's always great to hear from Charlie Furbush. How about bullpen banter time with Charlie Furbush?
Hey, everybody. We're back another again. Oh, wow. We're back again with another edition of Bullpen Banter. I'm Charlie Furbush, the one and only, to everyone else that's listening. And my special guest today is Mark Lowe, who's been around here a few times now. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing tremendous. Chuck, how are you?
Oh, I'm outstanding. Glad to have you on the show. You know, it's my first time interview, so if I seem to be a little nervous or stumble, let me know. But I think I'm going to nail it. Where'd you grow up, man? Where did it all start for you? Let's give a little background of your story.
Grew up in south suburbs of Houston, Texas.
Is there a name for that town?
Missouri City.
Missouri City.
Hometown of Warren Moon.
You know, you did come up through the Mariner system, got drafted by the old Seattle Mariners, made your debut here back in, when was it, 2006?
2006.
And I think you had one of the most epic debuts that I can recall. Someone said the walking bases loaded, striking out the side. Is that a fact?
I did not walk the bases loaded.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
First guy, base hit up the middle, double off the warning track, went over the fence, which kept the guy at third. Thankfully, hit Granderson to load the bases, and then punched out two guys and got a force out at home to keep the zero on the board.
That's awesome. That's called getting it done. You bounced around. You went for a couple different teams before you made your trek all the way back here. What made you really want to come back? Is it the city? Is it me? Joe Bimel? I don't know.
No, it's just a great city. I really enjoyed playing here, and by far my favorite city to come visit. Favorite team I've played for. Met my wife here. We make our home 2 hours south of here. There's a lot of deciding factors going for me.
That's pretty awesome, man. It's full circle right there. Pretty cool stuff. What other sports did you play when you grew up?
Everything. Street hockey, football, basketball, golf.
Course. Yeah, you can hit a golf ball pretty well. Yeah, I think you won the long drive competition in the team golf tournament this year.
I did. I can hit golf ball the country mile, Charlie.
Let's get into some bullpen talk here. If you could compare one guy in the bullpen that you played with, say, about your rookie year back in 06. Is there one guy you can compare two personalities to on the team now?
To a guy on the team now. Soriano and Rodney are pretty close to each other,
yeah.
The way they are. J.J. Putz, he's tough to compare with anybody. He's pretty crazy all the way around.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. I mean, besides you and me, clearly I think we know the weirdest, coolest and weirdest.
Yes, that's what I mean by cool.
Okay, that's what he means by cool. Weird is cool. Newsflash. Who is your most intriguing man in the bullpen to talk about? That guy is a bullpen guy for life, and he's hilarious.
Tom Wilhelmsen.
right?
You know, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, but we have so many different characters out there. It's nice to have a guy that rolls out of the wheelchair to go pitch a couple innings here and there, Joe Bimel.
He's so old.
Well, I guess. With age comes wisdom, and, you know, that's good for us.
Full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. What do you want to tell me about your most embarrassing moment on a baseball field?
My most embarrassing moment on the baseball field actually happened last night.
Oh, yes. Do you want to inform the folks?
Yeah, we are sitting there, and I apparently completely spaced out during the game. And we're sitting there, you know. Apparently the other team was batting. I thought we were hitting. And Moss hits a home run. I thought it was Ackley. And I jump up off the bench, clap my hands, go, yeah, that's out of here. And the entire bullpen is silent and stone faces me. And I realized that the other team just hit a home run, not the Mariners.
Oh, my God. That is a true story.
You just looked at me like I was the biggest idiot.
Yeah.
To wear a Mariners uniform.
Well, I know you're not the biggest idiot. Give me your favorite vacation spot.
I went to Jamaica with my wife on our honeymoon. Good spot. Haven't really. Growing up, we used to go to Colorado and Montana.
Montana
by far.
Okay, Montana it is. You're going out with some friends, and you guys are all feeling some karaoke, and you want to be lead singer, and I want to know what your go-to.
Sweet Caroline.
That's your go-to karaoke song.
Every time.
You want to? How do you want to start it off? Want to do it?
All right, here we go. Ready? Where it began, I can't begin to know when, boom, boom, but then I know it's growing strong. Ba-doom, 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 boom, boom, wasn't a spring, then spring became the summer, who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline, bum, 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 good times never seem so good,
so good, so good, so good, oh, that was so good. I think you set the tone. I can't ask any more questions. That was mind-blowing. What just happened? That was amazing. Mark Lowe, thanks for being on this week's edition of Bullpen Banter. You're the man.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
We'll see you guys next week.
I love the singing. I think the singing has happened in every one except for one so far this year, and I can't get enough. You know, I'm a big fan of montage. I have a feeling at the end of the year that we're going to have a Charlie Furbush singing Bullpen Banter montage. I think that would be excellent. Coming to a karaoke establishment near you. Charlie Furbush, excellent as always. Speaking of excellent, Rebecca Hale joined Aaron Goldsmith, and she'll give you a preview on the rest of what is still a lengthy homestand. 3 against the Yankees, and then Tampa Bay rolling in for 4.
Joined now by Rebecca Hale, director of all the good information here inside Safeco Field. Rebecca, thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Good morning.
Well, this is a nice lengthy homestand, is it not? This is a good one. 4 games with the Indians, and then, of course, the Yankees coming to town, and then the Tampa Bay Rays. And tomorrow night should be a really, really fun day. It's King Felix. Happy Felix Day, Michael Pineda. And King's Court will be crazy as always.
Well, you know, it's always such a special atmosphere in the ballpark when Felix takes the mound. And King's Court, this time out, we're actually going to get the high court in session.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we are...
Now, this is why she's the director of public information. We need to know these things.
Yeah, news
this
you can use. Yeah, opening up the view level seats for high court, so this place is going to be absolutely crazy on Monday night. So view level seats, $20 if you buy the tickets today, $25 if you buy them tomorrow. You get the King's Court T-shirt, and the high court folks get the K cloth. The towel.
I see.
And the folks down below get the K card.
Okay. Good to know. Is there a formula for when we open up high court? Is this just kind of like the bigger the game, the bigger the court?
Has to do with demand partially, and then also if we've got the inventory available. We had that area available for lots of seats. You know, it doesn't do very well to start selling King's Court when you've already sold majority of the seats.
Sure, yeah, it's kind of a problem.
Single game fans and, you know, doesn't have the same impact.
This all makes sense, but we need you to break it down for us. So that'll be a fun one tomorrow night. We've got the High Court, which will be a blast. Felix versus Michael Pineda, first pitch time at 7:10. And then game two against the Yankees, it is Kyle Seager bobblehead night. The first 20,000 fans taking home the Seager bobblehead courtesy of Root Sports. And it's a gold glove bobblehead edition, is it not?
It is, yeah.
And this is, I mean, I got to give the Mariners some credit here. The bobblehead of Seager looks as dead on to Kyle Seager as bobbleheads go. I mean, there was clearly some time that went into this.
You know, some of them look nothing like the person.
Exactly.
And for some reason, this one just worked out. It's a very good likeness. Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some time that gets put into this. I mean, research and development.
They actually start working on our promotions basically once the season is over. They start thinking about what's new, what's fun, what's interesting. And we know that the bobblehead is going to be on the calendar. And so they figure out who's going to get the honor of the bobblehead. And then there is work back and forth with an artist who creates the look of the bobblehead. And it goes through a few different versions. And then we also have to make sure that the person who's being portrayed likes it.
They have approval.
Yes.
They get veto power.
Yeah, and Ichiro used to be very, very specific about his. I mean, he wanted to make sure his little elbow pad was on and his shoes were just right and his wristbands and the facial hair. And we actually took pride in the details.
So did he.
Of that, yeah.
This is fantastic. Is Rebecca a weekly staple, Kev? This needs to happen. Okay, so Seager has clearly given his thumbs up, his seal of approval, and I can understand why. It's a terrific-looking bobblehead. That'll be on Tuesday, Game 2 against the Yankees. What else do we have coming up here in the homestand, Rebecca? This is a nice long one.
Well, I'm sort of going off topic, but I want to mention something that is going to be happening on Saturday. We do our Mariners Care silent auctions down on Section 128 on the main concourse, and next Saturday we are going to be giving a portion of the proceeds to the Seattle Police Retired Canine Foundation.
Oh, nice.
For the bomb dogs when they retire. And our beloved Dennis, who was here for so many years with his handler, Craig Williamson, he died about a week ago. And so we're going to do a portion of the proceeds will benefit that foundation. And it helps defray the costs of medical care for the dogs after they retire, because then they're no longer on taxpayers' expense. And Dennis, I know, had some chemotherapy bills, and so this is going to help out with that. And we're all really looking forward to being able to do something for Officer Williamson and the dogs.
Very nice. And briefly, we have Education Day, don't we?
Yes, we do.
That'll be on the final game of the series against the Yankees.
It's Thursday.
The day game. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So Education Day, Weather Day will be here at the ballpark, so that should be good stuff. So good stuff again.
Actually, it's Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
That's well.
Going out to schools in the Seattle area, divide up the team. Everybody goes out and they talk about the Mariner Moose Dream Team. Drug-free, respect for yourself and others, education, attitude, motivation. I know you'll be participating.
Nailed it. You sounds like you've done this before, Rebecca.
I might have seen it a few times.
Very nice. Rebecca Hale, it's always good to have you join us, and this is going to happen more often. We thank you.
I'll get you the number from my agent.
That was inevitable. There she is, Rebecca Hale, director of all the great information here inside Safeco Field.
And finally, we leave you on a Monday, how we usually do, with the week that was.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
Pitch to Evan, down and in, swung on and missed. Great pitch by Elias. Strikes out the side in the third, leaves a runner stranded.
The pitch, swing and a fly ball deep down the left field line. Holy smokes, going and going, it is gone. Goodbye baseball. Just fair down the left field line. What a great at bat by Mike Zunino. His sixth home run of the season. This one was way up there, way out of there. And the Mariners now lead the Rays 4-1 here in the ninth. What a shot by Zunino. Here's the pitch. Swung on, well hit ball. Deep to right field. Back she goes, and this one is gone. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is grand salami time. Kyle Seager with his eighth home run of the season. The Mariners went without a grand salami all last year. A four-run shot for Kyle Seager, scoring Bloomquist, Cano, and Cruz. And it's now the Mariners 6 and the Rays 3. Dave Niehaus, that one is for you.
Get out the ride, Brandon! Buster Grable! It is grand salami time!
0-2 pitch, and Kyle drives it center field. Going back, Kiermaier on the track. Look it up, it's gone! Bye-bye, baby! Kyle Seager does it again with a home run, and the Mariners have a 7-6 lead!
Kyle Seager, have a night.
Bimo looks in, comes set at the belt. The 0-2 pitch from Joe.
Swung on a miss, struck him out. The Mariners win it. 7-6 and 10, and they take the series.
Very, very amped. You know, with the second hitter, I actually had to step back a little bit and realize, you know, hey, you're in the game right now and you're still pitching. Can't let the adrenaline, like, overtake you and control you, so... You know, since I am so old, I was able to use my wisdom and in my favor.
Here's a 2-2. Breaking ball, get him looking. Strike three. Felix Hernandez ends the seventh inning with his fifth strikeout.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Guyer on the run going back to this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It may have gone into the Rays' fish tank. Holy smoke, Nelson Cruz with an opposite field, two-out, three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His 18th home run of the year, and the Mariners lead the Rays 3-0, and that one was headed to the fish tank.
That's the run that we need. Game's over.
Felix, another tug at the bill of that cap. Looks in, ready, the sign from Zunino. And the 1-2 to Butler. Swing and a miss. Strike three and it's over. Felix Hernandez shuts out the Tampa Bay Rays. A complete game four-hit shutout. The 11th in the wonderful career of Felix Hernandez. He gets a bear hug from Mike Zunino. The Mariners blank the Rays. A final score of 3-0.
Walker's pitch. Swinging and slicing on a line. Tough play. Ackley back towards the corner. Ackley racing over. He slides to his knees. And he holds on. A miraculous catch by Dustin Ackley on the warning track in left field. This has been some kind of night for Taijuan Walker. It's all coming up roses.
No score. Top of the fifth. Two outs. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three at a fastball. And that will retire the side. Walker has retired 14 of the last 15. And there is strikeout number 7. And Taijuan, he is a humming tonight.
The kick and the 2-1.
Swing. And this is hammered. And it is gone. This is gone by a ton. Oh, mama, Seth Smith. He puts the Mariners on top 2-0, and he got every ounce of that pitch by Trevor Bauer. Did he ever swap that over the fence in right field? 2-0 Mariners.
The set by Rodney, and the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball, right center field. Cruz is there calling for it, and he makes the catch, and this ball game is over. The Mariners hang on and win it tonight, a final score of 2-1, and Taijuan Walker, he went 8 scoreless innings. He'll pick up his second win of the year.
See you later!